Our text is Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, actually the beginning of verse 10, where we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. I want to read also from Daniel chapter 4. And then also from Matthew chapter 13. So I'm reading from Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 28 through 37. And let us seek God's blessing as we look to His Word. O Lord our God, now we turn to Your holy Word and we ask that You, by Your mercy and grace, would bless us with understanding as we look to that Word. May Your Spirit guide our thoughts, that they would be the true thoughts of Your Word, that You would help us to focus on Your Word, that we may apply it in our daily lives. Bless us with understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Daniel 4, beginning with verse 28. Daniel has interpreted a vision for King Nebuchadnezzar, and things have happened as had been predicted by Daniel. And we read, all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what hast Thou done? At that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out, so I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. And then turning over to Matthew chapter 13, and I'll read verses 24 to 52. And these are parables that Jesus gave regarding the kingdom of heaven. We won't go into all of these right now. We will later on as we get to this portion of Matthew in our series, but I want to read these as background to our message today. And so Jesus, speaking in parables, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, Did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. And the slaves said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and he was not talking to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, Yes. And he said to them, Therefore every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. May God bless to our understanding his holy word this day. The last time that I spoke and we looked at the Lord's Prayer, we began our study of the Lord's Prayer, and we saw the significance of the Lord's name and what we mean when we pray that the Lord's name be hallowed. Our prayer is that the whole world will come to know the Lord as his name reveals him, recognizing him as the almighty creator and ruler of the universe. And this leads us then to this next portion of the Lord's Prayer, in which we pray, Thy kingdom come. And as we look to this, we need to understand first that the Lord is King of the universe, whether or not people acknowledge him as King. And so the place we start is the fact that the Lord is King. He is the Almighty King. He already rules over all things. He demonstrates his authority in his work of creation. And think back to Genesis. In the very beginning, as God spoke and things came into being. As God said, let there be light, and there was light. As God said, let there be, and each thing came into being and was put in its proper place. As God created man, male and female, after his own image and placed them in the Garden of Eden. As he gave the covenant of works to Adam. And he proclaimed to him that he had all things in that garden except for the fruit of one tree only. God exercised his authority as he proclaimed that to Adam. And when Adam failed by eating that forbidden fruit, God exercised his authority once again, as he sent Adam and Eve out of that Garden of Eden. And as he put that curse upon the creation that we see even to this day, we see God's authority demonstrated. God demonstrates his authority through his dealings with his chosen people, Israel. In Isaiah 43, verses 10 to 13, we read, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, in order that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity, I am he. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it?" The Lord has authority over men and nations, and over his creation. The Lord demonstrates his authority through his dealings with those outside that chosen nation of Israel. We read about that in Daniel chapter 4. We see the power of the Lord removing Nebuchadnezzar from the throne and sending him out to eat the grass like the cattle. To be a wild man in the wilderness. And then restoring him and proving to him, showing him clearly that the Lord Almighty is God and he is the one who sets rulers in their place of authority. They are under him. He is not under them. And so you notice that Nebuchadnezzar at the end there acknowledged that it was God who put him where he is. It was not Nebuchadnezzar and his mighty deeds. God even rules over Satan. And we see that in the beginning of Job when Satan has to come to God for permission to test Job. He has to come to God for permission. God even rules over Satan. And so we don't pray that God will gain control over all things when we pray, "Thy kingdom come." And it's important to understand and to start from that perspective. We don't pray that God will gain authority. He already has it. Our prayer in this petition is that God, the Holy Spirit, will give life to dead sinners so that they will become willing to acknowledge God as sovereign and to serve him as Lord. We pray that God will raise dead sinners to life, that they will receive the new birth spoken of by Jesus in John chapter 3, that they will exercise the faith given by the Holy Spirit as God's gracious gift, and that as they exercise that faith, they will trust in Christ, and they will go out to serve him. The kingdom is advanced as you and I come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord
and commit our ways unto Him and go forth to serve Him each and every day. And so the kingdom has advanced as God's people spread the gospel in obedience to the Great Commission that we find at the end of Matthew, where Jesus declares that all authority in heaven and on earth is given to Him, and then He commands His disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them, teaching them." The kingdom is advanced as Christ's people go forth and do just that. As God then uses the proclamation of the gospel to bring sinners to faith, as the Holy Spirit convicts you and I and Christians throughout the world of the necessity of living all of life for the glory of God, as He sanctifies us when we study God's Word. God in His mercy gives us His Word to direct us. God in His mercy gives us His Spirit to make that Word clear to us. God in His mercy gives us His Spirit to show us where we fall short and to lead us to repent of our sin and to seek in every way to be obedient to God. It's important also to note that the kingdom is not an earthly political government. Now, this was an error made by the Jews of Jesus' day. And when Jesus came, and you'll notice that a lot of people were drawn to Him, and they were thinking, a lot of them were thinking in the back of their minds, here's the deliverer that will come and deliver us from the Roman authority that is over us, and will establish Israel once again as God's kingdom on earth, as He overthrows the Romans. And people, when things didn't turn out that way, people were very, very upset, because He was supposed to deliver them from Rome. We need to recognize that God's kingdom crosses all international boundaries. God's kingdom is not limited to any one nation or group of nations. All nations are under His authority, whether or not they recognized Him as king. And so nations like Iran, that does not recognize Him as king, He is king over them. He is king over the United States. He is king over Canada. He is king over New Zealand. He is king to the ends of the earth. It is His kingdom. His kingdom includes all who trust in Christ and serve Him in every nation. And we need to understand that. It's international. These are the willing subjects of the King. The kingdom also, though, encompasses those who do not trust and serve Christ, His unwilling subjects. As we look around us, we see many unwilling subjects. But He is King, no matter what they may say. And one day, every knee will bow, and all will acknowledge that He really is King. As sovereign Lord, God even uses those who do not believe in Christ to carry out His sovereign will. And we can look through history and we can see how God used various things in history, such as the persecutions of the early church, which caused the Christians to flee Jerusalem and spread the gospel wherever they went. You can think of other examples as well, but God uses even the evil of the world, the rebellion of the world, to bring about His plan and purpose. God restrains evil God does not allow all the evil that could happen to happen. God in His common grace protects His people. Yes, there is much evil in the world, but there could be much more. God, by His grace, protects us from that. Now, if you are a willing subject of the king, recognize that you will experience the ultimate victory of the kingdom over evil. And it's important as we face the trials and the difficulties of this life to recognize that there is a sovereign king on the throne and that he is victorious and that that ultimate victory will be ours and is ours as we trust in Christ. The kingdom of God stands in opposition to everything else that rebels against the king. All who are not for Christ are against him. There is no middle ground. There is no being right down the middle and trying to play both sides of the coin. You are for me or against me, Jesus says. When a person becomes a Christian, he or she becomes part of the army of Christ, mobilized for battle. And we need to understand there is a war. And we are engaged in spiritual warfare, even this very day, as we are united with other believers worldwide, and we go forth to advance the kingdom of Christ and advance the claims of Christ upon the world. Doesn't matter what your race, your color, your ethnic origin, your nationality, if you're trusting in Christ, you are part of His army. You are part of His body. We are one in Christ. Our spiritual warfare also encompasses all areas of life. God is sovereign in everything. And we need to recognize that as we go out into the world this week. God is sovereign over all the things that you are involved in. There is nothing that He is not king over. And you need to recognize that as you go forth to serve this coming week. We go into the battle with the whole armor of God upon us. And we read about that armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And the apostle writes there, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." And so these are our pieces of armor. These are our weapons as we go forth into the battle. When I served as a chaplain, of course, in the army, a chaplain can't carry a rifle or any other kind of military weapon, but I always went forth with my sword, and that is the sword of the Spirit. And people would ask me, "Where's your weapon?" Here it is, right there, proclaiming Christ. And that's the call upon you and I as we go forth to serve. Our weapons are different than what people call weapons in the world today. Our goal is to see Satan's kingdom utterly destroyed as people everywhere come to faith in Christ and commit their lives to His service. And even now, we're preparing to celebrate the total victory at that last great day. Recognize now that the victory was won by Christ when He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven to sit on the throne at the right hand of God the Father as the victorious King. And so recognize that we are in the mopping up operation. If you study military history there, when you fight a war, there comes a point when the victory is won, but not everything is finished. And that's where we are in this battle. The victory is won. The mopping up operation is going on, and you and I are part of that as we trust in Christ. He won the victory, but the fulfillment is still taking place. And so we must be on the alert for Satan's attacks. We must be prepared to defeat them using that whole armor that God has given us. And it's particularly important to study and understand God's holy word. We need to understand it carefully so we can apply it to every area of our lives and not let the attacks of Satan get through to us. It's important to pray. And I trust that you're praying for God to be merciful to you and to lead you into His Word, to understand it and apply it and be able and ready when the attacks of Satan come upon you. We can go into the battle with confidence. If you're trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are trusting in the victorious King. Know that He has won that victory. And that victory is yours as you trust in Him. And it's just a matter of time before all His enemies will be brought to acknowledge Him as King. We'll see the complete victory at the end of the age. At which time all will recognize, whether they had trusted or not, they will recognize Christ as King. But when that time comes, it will be too late to change sides. The call is upon you now. Turn your heart to Christ. Trust in Him. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge that the King is on the throne. And recognize that you are either for Him or against Him. There is no middle ground for you. Trust in Him. And you too will rejoice on that last great day in the victory that He has won when He came and He lived the perfect life we cannot live, and He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, and He rose in victory over sin and death. That victory is yours if you trust in Him. And so we see the nature of the kingdom of God. And we see here what we are praying for. When we pray that petition, "Thy kingdom come," acknowledge and recognize that there are some very significant things we're praying for. It's a few short words. There's a lot. There's a lot behind those words. Are you a willing servant of the King? Are you seeking to advance His kingdom? Are you putting this prayer into practice in your daily life? The call upon you is to do so. To do so vigorously in everything that you do. And may God bless us as we do that. Let us pray. Well, Lord our God, we recognize and acknowledge that You are King. That You have been King forever, and that You will be King forever. That there is no authority above You anywhere. Even the mightiest nations on earth are under Your authority. And we acknowledge that, O God. And we pray that you would make us bold and faithful witnesses in our own nation, that our leaders and our people will come to acknowledge Jesus Christ, that your kingdom will be advanced right here. And we pray for the nations of the world that the exact same thing will happen there, that your name will be honored and glorified, and that people everywhere will come to willingly serve you. We look forward to that last great day, O God, and that ultimate victory when we will go to be with you, and there will be no more sin, and there will be no more curse, and there will be no more suffering. And we thank you for your mercy and your grace in bringing this to us through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that any who do not know him, O Lord, that your Spirit would open their hearts to believe. And may we be true and faithful witnesses to all with whom we come in contact. May your name be honored. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.